Brought to you by Hyundai. Experience the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe.
Welcome back to the official Grey's Anatomy podcast. This week, line producer Rob Korn joins the lovely ladies of Grey's. They'll tell us all about the challenges of filming on location in the great city of Seattle. They'll also, of course, be discussing the happenings of that episode, where the boys are, including the appearance of George's father in the hospital at the end of the episode, and the slap fight between George and Alex. All that, and they'll be teasing next week's episode, Staring at the Sun, which airs Thursday, November 16th from 9 to 10 p.m. on ABC. Also, don't forget, the episode will be available for free on abc.com the next day. Here now are Shonda Rhimes, Betsy Beers, and Rob Korn.
Hi, I'm Shonda Rhimes.
I'm Betsy Beers, and we're Grey's Anatomy. And we have a special guest today.
The most special of all special
The most guests. Special of all guests, actually, or the biggest guest of all time, because he is the wind beneath our wings.
Hold on to your Grey's Anatomy.
Okay,
Hold
this is on. Way exciting, because we've been talking about him a way long time and mocking him publicly, and now he has a chance to actually stand up for himself.
Finally, for the first time, once for all, you'll hear the voice of Bossy McBossy,
Rob Korn.
Hello, America.
Okay. All we can say is he's looking wonderful today, too. I just want to describe the visual. He's wearing a tank top and a miner's cap and some nice shoes.
No,
he's
flip-flops.
Flip-flops, exactly, and a snorkel. So it's all going pretty well. No, he's in a very sporty shirt, and which is nice when you wear a shirt to work, Rob.
I dress for radio.
It's all fun and games over here at Seattle Grey's.
Never ends at Grey's Anatomy, the joy.
So we're actually really excited that Rob's doing this today because Shonda and I don't know what we're talking about on this episode because honestly...
We weren't there.
It was we got to shoot it in Seattle most of the episodes.
So. We're talking about where the boys are.
Which is
why we brought a boy to talk to you.
Because normally if there was girl in the title, you'd already have girls here, but now with a boy here, it'll be awesome.
Where the Boys Are is our camping episode. Rob, why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, it was fun that we had the challenge of going to Seattle and finding locations that represented Seattle that did not look like Griffith Park in Los Angeles.
So you were actually in the woods?
We were actually in the woods. We were an hour and a half outside of Seattle proper. And the best part was living out there. And the one thing here about how's the crew actually camping? So it was the cold showers out in the open that was
Rob,
the most fun.
I need to know: did you build a latrine?
Yes.
Since
we were there for a week, we dug long drops, which
awesome.
Yes,
that's a great fact.
Which I learned about when I had a past life and was in Africa doing a project, but. My job was to instruct them where to dig the long drops, which was different than a short drop because you could count to 10 before it hit bottom. It's 5 on a short drop.
It's good to know. That's good to know. And by the way, Rob, just remind me, you never camped in your life until you went to Africa, correct?
Correct.
Okay, cool. Because we were all looking at tents at one point because we were looking at tents for the camping.
What
episode.
I loved is that, yes, they brought Betsy and I out to look at tents.
Because we were awfully, so we were really specific about Burke's tent, as I remember. Right. We were really keen on Burke having a specific kind of tent.
And I actually don't like to be outside for any reason whatsoever, ever. So
you actually don't like actually the air.
Yes, exactly.
The moving particles or any of that part.
Any of that stuff. So when they asked us to look at tents, it was sort of like, I don't know, asking me to look at football teams or something.
Is that an indication that we're going to have a football episode?
Under no circumstances.
Okay, great. Okay.
Super Bowl's as close as we get.
Okay.
I went camping when I went to camp, and it's a boring story I won't tell you, but now I'm telling you. But I went to camp for a couple of years, and so I knew more about tents than anybody else here, which is terrifying given the fact I went to camp in the Eisenhower era. Like probably in 1928. Oh, wait, that wasn't even Eisenhower. That was the Great Depression.
Yeah.
But so the last tent I remembered was like a tent from like World War One. So we kind of ended up with a tent that looked a little bit like World War One, which was awesome and kind of strange.
Burke's tent, where everything was vintage and kind of fabulous.
Which is cool, and I ended up people to...
The closest I got was to a tent was putting two chairs together with a blanket in the living room.
You were that kid.
Yes, I was that kid.
You were that kid with the flashlight and stuff.
Right, right. And my mom kept saying, what are you doing in there?
And we don't want to know what you're doing in Iraq, because we can just imagine. We have horrifying imagination. See, so there you go.
Okay.
What was it like camping with Patrick and Isaiah and TR?
It was fun. they actually had a really good time. You know, we are here on stages a lot, and the opportunity to get outside into the wilderness.
And they're all pretty outdoorsy.
And they are very outdoorsy. And TR in particular had to do the fight that went on there, and mm-hmm. Was very, very into that, and was very dedicated to it. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of fun.
Did they all learn how to fish? Did they all know how to fish?
We hope in the final edit it's going to look that way.
Because it really does.
It really does.
They took some lessons, and some of them have fished in the past. Patrick was adamant about fly fishing, and we put him out in the water a little bit.
Because he looked great. I mean, I thought actually all of them looked
phenomenal. But he didn't actually fly fish. It was just regular fishing.
No, it was regular
fishing.
For you fishing
aficionados who also listen to the iPod blog.
It's true, because we have a big fishing contingent, I believe, who are fans.
And we had one of our property masters that was there had to be out in the water when they kept throwing the line in. It would get hooked on rocks and stuff there. So he was out there in the middle, off camera, trying to unhook them until he finally fell into the water that was very chilly.
I can imagine the much hilarity ensued
Laughter and hilarity.
That's a great montage moment.
Yes.
In the life of the show. So did you get that on film?
No, he was unfortunately off camera. Yeah, it was unfortunate.
We love humiliation, which is actually recorded for posterity. That would have been good.
But the boys really loved the whole adventure, and we said it was very energizing for them to be outside of the confines of a stage and to be out in the open. So I think they appreciate it.
And Patrick and Isaiah and Jim also shot in Seattle.
Correct.
Proper.
Yes.
What was that like?
That was like Elvis walking down the street or the Beatles showing up in town. The women that arrived, that they heard that Patrick was there, was like nothing I've ever seen before. And we had to have police holding barricades, and the only thing, I didn't see panties flying out of the crowd, but it was
all
close to it.
All that for Dempsey, really?
What's interesting is probably because they were catching the panties. So fast you could
see
it.
What I was going to say is we work with Dempsey every day, and I've never once thrown my panties at him.
You haven't? Because, God, I try to control myself to stop, because I'm running out of panties.
I must admit, I've thrown two pair of my panties. He signed them and returned them.
That's nice. That's nice.
He's a good guy that way.
Also, by the way, Isaiah, big fan base.
Big fan base.
Also,
and
number of slathering ladies.
Right. The two of them were having much fun together with the fans, and they all hugging people and the autographs and the picture taking and being really good sports about being available to the crowd that came out there. Both of them were.
But you guys did sort of shut down the part of Seattle, because they arrived.
Yeah, we actually shot outside of the Westin Hotel, and it was a one-way street, which we asked the city of Seattle to turn around in right in the middle of the highest traffic time. And they were kind enough.
That's considerate of you, Rob. Yes, as a line producer, that was probably a really nice
thing
to do.
The trick was the space needle was in the direction we needed the traffic to be going.
I appreciate that.
Always looking out for us in terms of that.
If we would have shot the other way, I think we would have gotten in trouble.
I think it's important to have the space needle around as often as possible.
So
shows you're in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
So we shut down the street and turned it around, and the city of Seattle was very, very gracious and accommodating to us, as was the Westin. And the women, I said, it was amazing to have. We had one woman who approached me that needed to hug Patrick or get his picture or whatever. She had a friend who emailed a friend who was 3 hours away from Seattle, who then called her and said, Grey's Anatomy shooting in somewhere in Seattle. She left her office, drove around the city of Seattle trying to find us, found us, parked a car in the middle of the street, and was hoping it wasn't being towed. And as she was telling me the story, Patrick happened to walk up. She looked at him. He reached over, hugged her. She fell flat on the ground, and it was like all the kismet in the world for her. So it was amazing the outpouring of love to all of Grey's Anatomy in Seattle.
Yeah, and let's not forget that saucy rock star Jim Pickens too.
Jim Pickens,
by the way, cute as a button with that little suitcase. Yeah. I'm going to say.
Yeah.
if I was a chick, I would have been throwing myself all over Jim Pickens, because that he just looks all saucy and cute with that little roller coat.
And the little hat. That is one of the funniest things I've ever seen, is him with the picnic basket, the rolling suitcase, and the little hat. It's my favorite thing to watch.
And that shot you guys got over the bridge where he's bringing up the rear and he looks just like a little kid that's been let out of a candy store.
He could do that 100 times in a day, and I was laughing every time.
It's hysterical.
So funny.
Just the look on his face of wonderment. I'm in the woods.
Exactly.
Just so charming.
I imagine that's what I would have done if I ever had gone to the woods as a child.
That would probably make a lot of sense.
Right.
It was also it was great to be able to see, that story develop between Alex and George in that context.
Uh-huh.
And the fact that you guys got to do it outside.
Yeah.
Because we've seen conflicts between George and Alex before, but we've seen them in locker rooms. They've always been sniping each other or in an elevator. But actually to take it out into the world and the wild was so excellent.
And my favorite thing about it was just the idea that it was, a bunch of men out in the wilderness doing what men do. And then they have to do a slap fight, which was just my favorite thing in the world.
Which I think was so great. And it's also that you hear slap fight, but by the way, that actually looked really painful.
Which was the point.
It was a very mean fight.
Well, that's when I mentioned earlier about TR taking it to heart and being really dedicated to it. He actually was hurting himself. His right forearm, he sprained it or something, and we kept offering up pads to put on. No, I want to do it myself. And it was edited in such a way that he didn't see him stopping each time going, ouch, this really hurts.
But Justin were so funny together. Their looks to one another.
Oh, it's so, and also the point where Alex actually finally just says, oh, for gosh sakes, I've had enough of this, and tells him. But what a horrible way. Have you ever had that happen, finding out about something like that? Because that's the most horrible way in the world is somebody actually just
I've never been cheated on ever, so I wouldn't know the feeling.
It's so interesting. See, that's a wonderful thing.
My men stay with me.
I'm not laughing. I'm laughing out of joy. I'm laughing out of actual joy and belief.
You guys knew me. You laugh so hard.
See, that's a lovely thing, and probably why you have such a great imagination, that you, along with Mark Wilding, who wrote the episode, could create such a fantastical idea.
Mark Wilding, speaking of mountain men.
Oh, my God. Mark Wilding, who's the writer of the episode, was up in Seattle as well and suffered some problems.
Well, also, the part where actually George is making fun of Alex and saying, dude, you're wearing, you're actually wearing this camping? You're wearing, a little thin jacket? You're going to freeze to death? Okay, so Mark Wilding went on a little bit of a field trip.
Yes, one of our early scouts, he came up completely unprepared, and it was rained on us, and he looked like a puppy dog
It's almost as if Mark Wilding, who's from Canada, has never been out of Los Angeles before, because he dressed as if it were sunny and 80 degrees.
And if you could see Mark, though, because Mark is this big, handsome...
Couldn't be a more strapping example
guy
of masculine virility.
Which just proves that he could actually withstand anything. Regardless, because even with rain pouring on him,
But he did cry like a girl.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Mark, you're going to have a chance to actually on and do a rebut here, because clearly
that's
going to be necessary.
That's not true. I was just making that up.
But he did an amazing job writing the episode.
He did a fantastic job writing the episode. And what was really great was just the way we watched George, sort of unwittingly bait Alex a couple of times before the fight happened.
And that could be one of my funniest scenes, and it was when Richard was giving the rules to the two guys.
The rules is great. And the expression on both of their faces.
On both of their faces.
Which when Alex says, you're dead.
Right.
Which is
just one of the funniest
phenomenally great. And then it was cool that, all this incredible stuff is going on up there, but that it intercuts so well with what was going on in the hospital. Because meanwhile, all the guys are basically causing havoc out there, and poor men are falling on rocks who shouldn't have been camping with these guys to begin with. And
back at the hospital, we had, Callie and Addison having this really great, really moving bonding experience dealing with this couple who the wife is pregnant and has had this accident. And now the baby that she's been carrying has died and they have to deliver it, which, by the way, medically is exactly what would happen. And then we have Meredith and Sloan dealing with this sexual reassignment surgery, which we were really excited to do and really excited to sort of find a way to tell the story in a way that felt a little bit different than, look at me, I'm a transsexual. Instead of doing sort of that story, we wanted to do the story of what it's like to be the spouse, what it's like to be the support, what it's like to decide to stick in that relationship, and how that relates oddly enough, to Meredith and Derek.
Right. And what's important about a relationship, and what's the thing you end up caring about most in the relationship, and what keeps you going and makes you keep pushing through.
Yeah.
But it's also, I thought that it was really interesting that the Callie and Addison relationship, it starts very superficially thinking that the only thing these two people have in common is that they both slept with Mark Sloan.
Yeah, which
but
I
that
love.
It goes to this place of this other bond is achieved through this experience, which absolutely transcends. So in the beginning, you think this is going to be a problem between the two of us. This is going to be a problem. We're going to watch a problem between this. This is going to develop into this whole thing. And this much more important thing happens that makes them so totally transcend that,
yeah.
that last moment where they're both sitting in the hall, and it's literally just a toss-off of like, yeah, I slept with her, I slept with her, okay, fine. You want to go out and have a drink? Which is such a great place to get to and puts it all sort
and
of in
really
perspective.
And you really feel like there is a friendship there. And
exactly.
Part of the episode, I mean, a large part of the episode, from the camping to the Mark and Meredith to the Callie Addison, it's all about happy couples. I mean, the guys are camping with Joe and Walter. And you know, Richard's commenting that they're a happy couple, and Addison's talking about this really happy couple that's sitting there, and Meredith is with Mark and thinking, and Mark's sort of telling them that we could be a happy couple, and she's missing Derek, and Donna and Vicky are this couple that, against all odds, in a weird way, are a happy couple. I mean, it was sort of all about that concept mm-hmm. of happy people should have happy things happen to them, happy couples, and I thought that just fell out beautifully.
In the middle of all this, you've got Izzy, who is trying desperately to deal with the fact that she's still in a happy couple, that every single day she thinks about this guy, you know?
Yes, and how amazing, by the way, is it to have Sydney back?
I mean, which was, come on, just one of the most awesome things ever.
She's got to be one of my favorite guest stars ever.
Also, the
next to Danny Duquette.
Which we
live,
have to mention.
Live guest stars.
One of my live, yes, you're one right. of our still living guest stars.
One that we had not killed yet,
right.
That's true.
She's just so funny as this resident, and it's for me, whenever you see Sydney, you get this sense that living in the world of this hospital, just around a corner that we don't get to see every week, are a whole other set of interns dealing with a whole other resident and a whole other set of problems. And the fact that Sydney is that person is always hysterical to me.
That parallel universe. That somehow another little puppet head can get across the parallel universe and into these people's worlds is awesome.
She's so unbelievably
yeah.
funny and but
well,
also crazy moving. Yeah,
yeah. Go from funny to her in the locker room with Izzy at the end was amazing. I mean that.
Well, what I love is that she definitely seems to have levels, and you think
right.
this woman's kind of a joke, but she's not. She's just as human as anybody else, and I feel like that's what that actress brings really beautifully.
Well, she also part. Did. There's my favorite Sydney moment, which is really really tiny and it's really strange, is when she finds Izzy in the room with Christina. And she sits down, she says, I'm going to wait. And the only indication you get that the entire room smells like poop is that she takes her little finger and she sticks it under her nose and she goes, And she takes her pen and she
yes.
sticks it right by her cheek and she gets ready to write. And you know the only indication she's going to give in her sunny, funny Sydney world that this place just smells rank is this tiny little gesture under her nose, which, I don't know, just every single time I see it cracks me up.
She's fantastic.
Yeah, she's really, really good.
She's fantastic.
So it's I think it was a really fun
yeah.
and moving and
exciting.
Incredibly intense.
And it was really our chance to sort of get to take the doctors out of the hospital and do something a little different with them. Which
and
I
also
was
get
great.
Rob Korn off set.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
truthfully, a huge part of this was just
getting Rob Korn into the wilderness.
And I wanted to go shopping, and I figured he might notice it if I was gone. So, you know, it would just be, you were off.
We ran wild while bossing.
We actually did. The phone! See, this
not a podcast unless the phone rings.
Exactly. We're so psyched. So I wonder who it is.
The interesting part is that you guys actually think, or still do to this day, think that I was in Seattle.
You know, that's true. There are no photographs
that's true.
Of you
There's
in Seattle.
No photographs of me in Seattle.
But, you know, as excited about this episode as we have been.
Our next episode is Staring at the Sun. And one of the things that happens at the end of Where the Boys Are is that you see George's father, who you met for the first time last season in the Thanksgiving episode, laying in a hospital bed. And we're going to see what's going to happen with that and what that all means. And that's really all I can tell you about that.
Which is incredible. And we're also hopefully going to continue the ongoing storyline between Bailey and Christina, which is the Bailey knowing that something's up, but she doesn't know what it is.
Yeah, that's gonna take a little while to play out, but it's going to be playing out in a way that's pretty great. And you're going to watch this thing that's been going on with Christina and Burke with the tremoring hand and her covering for him in surgery.
Continue to build,
which I think is just really fantastic. But I really feel like you got to see this episode because it features one of my favorite performances ever from T.R. Knight.
And also Sara Ramirez, who's awesome in it as well.
And some people who are soapy and not quite clothed and bathed up.
Okay, by the way, yes, tiny bit porny.
Just in case you need just, something a little porny.
Just there's a some tiny people bit porny. Clothed and a little not, porn
and,
adjacent,
yeah, not
maybe.
Quite clothed and soapy of,
yeah.
and bathed up.
So it's good. So a little bit of porn, a little bit of George, a little bit of rock and roll. It's a good episode.
I think that's really aptly put.
Thank you.
What do you think, Rob Korn?
No comment. I was cleared off the set for the porn.
Aww. We weren't.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
So this has been...
Rob Korn.
Shonda Rhimes.
Betsy Beers. We're Grey's Anatomy.
Lives
and totally, yeah.
In the history of Grey's Anatomy, which is long and storied.
So you know what I think? I think probably this is the big cue for the hook.
I think we
to come and get
talking.
Us
yeah.
and take us away yeah. And give us the medication that clearly is necessary. So I'm Betsy Beers.
And I'm Shonda Rhimes.
And this is Grey's Anatomy.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Join us again next time for more insight with the Grey's Anatomy producers. And as always, Grey's Anatomy is available for viewing from our website for free the day after it airs. Just go to abc.com. Where the Boys Are airs Thursday, November 9th from 9 to 10 p.m. only on ABC.
You're hearing the sound of America's most advanced assembly plant, but Honda and Toyota are only hearing footsteps. Because right here, Hyundai is building a better SUV. The all-new feature-packed Santa Fe. With standard safety features like electronic stability control and 6 airbags. And the protection of America's best warranty. 10 years, 100,000 miles. All for thousands less. The all-new fuel-efficient Santa Fe. Only at Hyundai.
See dealer for limited warranty details. Safety belts should always be worn.